Good morning. Please have a seat. I want to welcome us all to this time and this place of worship. As we gather here this day, we recognize that we are not only in each other's company, but we are in the presence of God. And it is the worship of God that for which we are gathered here this day. If you are visiting with us, a very warm welcome to you. We're so glad you have chosen to be with us and be in our midst this morning. My name is Reverend Michael Mugford, and I have the honor of being in ministry here at Cole Harbor Woodside. If you are visiting with us, do let us know that you have been here. We've got a guest book just outside the doors of the sanctuary. Please sign that and let us know you've been here. You are invited to join us after service for a time of coffee and fellowship and some refreshments and that, and get a chance to meet some of the wonderful folks here at Cole Harbor Woodside. during the service, you're invited to follow along with the bulletin. Anything that's in the bold type, we invite you to share with us in response. During the offering time, we don't ask our guests to leave an offering, but if you would like to, we have guest envelopes in many of the pews here. If you fill that out with your name and address and such, we'd love to be able to send you a thank you letter for having worshiped with us this morning. And if you think that Cole Harbor Woodside might be a place where you would like to journey over the next while in your spiritual journey, this might be a place where you would feel comfortable as your spiritual home, do talk to me. I'd love to tell you all about the wonderful things that are opportunities and ministries here at Cole Harbor Woodside United Church. As we gather, we have been over the last couple of years trying to honor the work and of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada, and we have begun our services by the honoring and acknowledging of the place in which we are gathered here this morning. And so I invite us to share in the words in your bulletin and on the screen this morning. As we gather in this place, we remember with gratitude that we live and worship on lands that are by law the unceded territory of the Wabanaki peoples, predominantly the lands of the Mi'kmaq, Maliseet, and Passamaquoddy. I also want to acknowledge some of the guest leadership that are here this morning. We have Brenda Leanders and Ian McHattie, who are here from the Canadian Food Grains Bank, and they're going to share some of the work in the ministry of the Canadian Food Grains Bank, of which the United Church of Canada is an ecumenical partner, and some of the work that they are doing raise the issues of food and food security and the need for that around our world. And so welcome. Thanks for being with us this morning. So as we gather, we light our candles. We light our Christ candle because it is in Christ that we are gathered here this day. It is Christ that calls us into community and guides us and leads us. It is Christ's light we are called to bear in the world. We light a candle of peace. It represents our prayers for peace, not only in our own communities, but around our world as well. Places where there is peace and danger, not peace, and there is much danger for people. We continue to think of those, particularly in Syria, the Kurdish people, who are greatly, greatly affected by violence and hunger and displacement from their land. And so we think of them and we pray for peace for them and many peoples around our world. We light a candle to honor those who serve. We think of those particularly who serve in our armed forces, both here in Canada and around our world, who go to places for the cause of peace, who seek to bring humanitarian relief and efforts in many, many places. They go to places of great danger where we cannot or would not go. We also remember and honor those who are peacemakers and peace bringers in our communities, first responders, peace officers, firefighters, EMTs. We think of those who staff our nursing homes, our emergency care departments, everyone in our hospitals and who are there for us when we are in times of our greatest need. They are there 24/7 when we need them. And so we honor them, their ministry, and we pray for their support. Our opening song this morning is in the hardcover, Voices United, verses 1 and 2 at 374. Is going to share our call to worship this morning.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up our hearts.
We lift them up to God.
Let us give thanks to the goodness of God.
We give our thanks and praise to God.
Thank you, Lucy. Let us pray. God of many days, your covenant is written upon our hearts and is experienced by the abundance of creation. In the midst of the splendor of this harvest season, we are grateful for the gifts of earth, and yet we know there are many whose hunger is real because their cupboards are bare. In all our times, we seek you. You are always found in the care and comfort we give to others. God of this moment, we bring our basket of uncertainties, our angst for the loved one in hospital, our concerns about the disharmony in the words of politicians, our anxiety in the overwhelming need of so many, and our fears about the economy that favors the few over the many. We bring these joys and fears now in prayer and in silence, that we may hear you speak words of hope and challenge to us. May we hear you, Spirit, calling us to serve and in faith respond. May it be so. Amen. And our opening hymn, this time in the coil-bound More Voices, number 1. Come, let us build a house. Thank you. And Catherine Bradshaw is going to come and share the scriptures with us this morning.
The reading this morning from Leviticus 23:22. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the alien. I am the Lord your God. And also from Matthew 25, verses 34 to 40. Then the king shall say to those at his right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and I gave you food. I was thirsty, and I gave you something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.
Thank you, Catherine. I invite all the children to come forward here and meet some new friends I've just made.
This is all.
Got a red light on this one? Hey. It's good? All right.
Wow, perfect. I forgot my prop.
All right, you go.
All
you,
good.
Oh. You can sit right there with the
can
children.
I sit here?
Yeah, I'm gonna sit over here too.
Well, this is a children's story, and my name's Ian. I'm a farmer up in Truro, and I have to talk loud with the microphone, which doesn't make sense because you guys are right here. But a lot of people out there actually pay attention to what I'm teaching you right now. So I'll speak loud for everyone, but especially to you kids. How are you guys today?
Good.
We just had a reading, and it was a reading from Leviticus, which is actually Moses. He's talking to all the priests and Levites years ago. And in that reading, he talked of how we should reap and glean. Who knows what reap means? Whoa. Who's a farmer here? I'm not the only farmer. Am I the only farmer in this room? You guys didn't have to milk the cows this morning? Did you drink milk? Wow. And what about gleaning? Anyone know gleaning? No. Well, I'll teach you two little words this morning of how God taught us way back in Leviticus to when we reap our harvest, we have to glean as well. Which is like, what does that guy mean? So here, what is this then? Anyone know what this is? What is it? It's kind of a popcorn seed, but it is just a kernel of corn. Yeah, it's a popcorn. So this is a popcorn. So when we reap a harvest, that means we collect it. This is fall. You know, it's Thanksgiving, our harvest season, and farmers are out harvesting their harvest. So what I did in the spring is I just put that down there. And what happens? It grows. Yeah, right out of the carpet. But it does grow. We do a little more work. We put fertilizer, we plow it, and we put it in the ground. We actually pray for rain. We had too much in May, but we didn't plant till June. But you know what God does? He multiplies this stuff so much that when I plant that one seed, you know what it grows? In 6 months, I went to my field last night, so this is fresh. And in 6 months, that one seed grew into that. And it will open up, I know. And it'll grow into one of these. You're going to keep that for nice decoration. And anyone had corn on the cob?
Yes.
Yes, everyone knows corn on the cob. Whoa, we're back with farming. And in a whole stalk, if I plant one seed, it grows this. How many corn in the cobs come onto it?
Two.
Two? Three? Actually, only one. See, right here, about halfway up. Right there. Ooh. This is your corn on the cob. So we grow this 8-foot plant in 6 months, actually about five, because you want corn on the cob in August. Because you don't want to eat it like this. And then this will grow into this. And then you open it all up after you get all the awnings and hairs off. And you have that whole cob of corn. And this is a fresh cob of corn right from my field. So what we call reaping. So the word reaping is, if I put one of those in the ground, in 6 months, I get that. And I'm going to ask you a question. You can count how many rows are in that from top to bottom. How many rows? And where's another one? You. You count how many rows. We'll see who's close here. That's going to be one question, because this is kind of my farmer thing. And the other thing, when we want to grow corn, to know this is a nice cob of corn, sorry, from my perspective, it's all dented. Oh, I could go on and on about how great it is. But if I cut it in half, we call this a swirl. See the round? And there's always an even number of kernels. That's another thing you got to learn. Can you tell me how many kernels are in that swirl? Like count around the... Can you count too? You want to pass it to someone? You can count? Okay. That's the swirl count.
40.
40? Wow. She's still counting. How many?
14.
Oh, really? It's not 16? Oh. Can I count again? I was so hoping it was 16. 14's not very good.
My children's times go like that all the time.
I know. And how many did you get?
32.
32. So he got 40. So there's 40 rows. You got 32. Let's go with 40 because that's easier math. And there's 14 in a row. So what's 40 times 14? 560. So we'll make it easier since you had about 32. We'll say there's about 500 kernels. So when we use the word reap, imagine in May, I put this in the ground. And I got 500 of these. And we don't really need them all. We'll use this to eat. I'll save one of them, so I'll have 499 left to use. And I save one for next year to eat. But what about the ones that fall on the edge or around the thing? In Leviticus, God taught us that not only do we reap, which means God will make it such that I put one seed in the ground and get 500 out of it. It's true, right here. You see it, driving right by the highway in Shubenacadie. Yeah. And but that's how you reap. So we collect all that. So it's like, wow, that's great. But then the gleaning means some extra rows or there's extra things around the edges, stuff that has fallen over. And back in the day, like hundreds, thousands of years ago, they used to collect it by hand. So they would leave those for the poor. Nowadays, we have a thing called gleaning. Gleaning is where you save a little extra for someone else. It's like offering. You save a little extra money that you make for other poor people, just like in our readings, the sick, the poor, the hungry, the unclothed, the ones escaping war and moving to Canada. So if you have extra furniture, extra clothes, you give those, and that's called gleaning, saving your extra. So in farmers, sometimes we're so modern with all our machinery, the machinery doesn't know to give to the poor and to give to this. The machinery just collects at the combines. So we do a thing called gleaning where certain farmers and people have extra land. So they donate the land. And us farmers, oh, well, when I'm done here, I'll go plant there. And when I'm done spraying this, I'll go over there. And when I'm done harvesting, another farmer will go over there. And in a community, about 6 or 8 of us farmers, we'll grow a field that wasn't being used and donate all that land to the Canadian Food Grains Bank to help feed hungry people. So gleaning is a word that's sort of like giving a little bit of your extra. So if I get to go plant one seed, your janitor's not going to like me. There. If I get to collect one seed and grow 500, I save one back, I got $4.99. I only need about 400 of them. So about 10%, like 40 of the seeds, we'll donate. And that money goes to help feed hungry people. So now you know what reaping is, how it multiplies. You know what a swirl count is. And you know how we glean. And that's our modern day gleaning. So thank you very much. Oh, you want to set that back? Yeah. And there was that. So that's, I'm going to tell your parents more about that. And I'm going to tell them a little information called Grow Hope of how farmers glean and give extra and how a church like this can participate. So now they're all excited to hear about that. And you're probably all excited to go. So, you learn anything about corn? Very good. So, can we close in prayer?
We sure can, yeah.
Okay. I'll think of something. You can repeat after me. You guys like doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for spring.
Thank you for spring.
That grows the seeds.
That grows the seeds.
That we reap in the fall.
That we reap in the fall.
Give us hearts.
Give us hearts.
For those that are less fortunate.
For those that are less fortunate.
To glean some of our harvest.
To glean some of our harvest.
For others.
For others.
In God's name.
In God's name.
Amen.
Amen.
So that means you can go?
Well, we're going to sing. We're going to sing first. This is the day. We got to sing, right? There we go. You can run right off to Sunday school. The rest of us are going to stay here and sing. We're going to sing This is the Day, number 412 in the hardcover Voices United. Thank you very much, Ian. School programming upstairs. See there. Tough act to follow. Thank you, Charles, and our choir. Maybe we should, future times when we have special guest speakers, we should let the choir sing afterwards. I'm just so pleased to have Brenda and Ian here with us today to talk about the work of the Canadian Food Grains Bank. It was something that was close to my heart in the charge I was serving in the Annapolis Valley. And so thank you very much, Brenda and Ian, for being here and sharing the work that you're doing with the Canadian Food Grains Bank.
So first of all, thank you so much for a very, very warm welcome. My husband, Ian McCaddy, and myself, Brenda Leenders, we, on a volunteer basis, are the Nova Scotia representatives for the Canadian Food Grains Bank. And one of the privileges of that work is showing up to a place that we've never been before and being welcomed and greeted and a part of the whole family of those who believe in Jesus and our role in this world. So thank you for the warm welcome. And thank you to Catherine. Catherine is Ian's cousin who invited us to be here. So thank you so much for that. And on your bulletin, it says World Food Day. Was anybody here for your World Food Day dinner that happened on
Wednesday?
Awesome. So, what happened? A great dinner? Awesome. World Food Day was actually started in 1945 by the Food and Agriculture Organization of the World Health Organization. And that was way back in 1945. And it was actually created in Quebec City when they met and decided to honor October 16th as the day for World Food Day. And the purpose is to recognize the need for the hungry in the world and not only help to meet their needs, but to help develop and create systems that are fair and just so that all have a chance to eat. So Ian and I, as representatives with the Canadian Food Grains Bank, speak for the over 820 million people in the world who daily go to bed hungry or waking up not knowing where their next meal comes from. And often those People do not have a voice, and so the Canadian Food Grains Bank not only helps to alleviate hunger, but to also speak up for their needs and be their voice. So, as you heard, the United Church of Canada is a member of the Canadian Food Grains Bank. Did you know that you were a founding member of the Canadian Food Grains Bank in 1985? And you are one of 15 national member church agencies who actually have your own bank account within the Canadian Food Grains Bank. And we have an annual report, and you can look up and see how much you have in your account. It's over $1 million that the United Church has in your account. And you then, as your own United Church agency, work with your partners internationally to alleviate hunger. Anybody know some of the places where the United Church of Canada is partnering with the Canadian Food Grains Bank around the world? Any guesses? Okay, yes, in Africa. So you are currently, well, this was 2018, so could be still going, I'm not sure. So you are working in the Democratic Republic of Congo, in Ethiopia, in Somalia, Kenya, Sudan, and South Sudan. You're also working in Iraq, in Pakistan, and in India. And one of the reasons it benefits the United Church of Canada to partner with the Canadian Food Grains Bank is because we also have a long-standing partnership with our Canadian government. We are currently receiving $25 million annually from our Canadian government to help us do this work. And when you are doing food aid, the Canadian government will match what you are investing 4-to-1. So it's kind of like that corn, not quite as extravagant as the corn, but similar multiplication. So that's the work that you are already doing and investing in our world. And so the kind of work that we do, I like to use the analogy of the story of, what happens when you give a man a fish? He eats for a day. Okay, so the Canadian Food Grains Bank actually spends about, well, last year, $26 million went to feed people who are hungry. And they are hungry because of, actually, most of the increase in hunger is coming from what? War. Unfortunately, we were working towards a trend of decreasing the number of hungry people in our world, but because of the conflict that's happening, the lack of peace, the hungry in our world is increasing. So conflict is the main reason that people are hungry. We also have drought, tsunamis. So we have responded to provide direct emergency food aid in all those places I've mentioned earlier, Madagascar, Nigeria, Uganda, Zimbabwe, Colombia, Haiti, Honduras, Afghanistan, Bangladesh, India. It just goes on, and it just breaks my heart to know that people are suffering, and they have no voice. And so we, through the Canadian Food Grains Bank and you as a partner, are helping with that. So that's give a man a fish. Okay, so what happens when you teach a man to fish? Eats for a day. So that gets into what we call our responding to hunger in the long term. So that's where we do a lot of work around conservation agriculture, or in other parts of the world, they call it farming God's way. And we are working with communities, teaching demonstration plots, and then teaching local leaders to be leaders and spreading the way of growing so that most of the farmers in developing countries work on very small acreage. Ian talks about huge fields in Shubenacadie. Here we talk about 1 or 2 acres. Small-scale farmers are the ones who have been feeding the world and continue to feed the world. And the vast majority, just over half of the farmers who are feeding our communities are women. And so they need extra support. Interestingly, if we talk about giving support to women farmers, they currently only receive, in the developing country, about 5% of the agriculture training and capacities. And if women farmers had access to the same resources as women, as men farmers, they could just, same access to resources, could increase their production 20 to 30%, which could decrease global hunger by 100 to 150 million just by equal access. So part of what we do is around equity. That's the teach a man to fish. And then what happens if you teach a woman to fish? Aha! Teach a woman to fish, and we say she feeds her own family and she feeds her own community. Research tells us that women reinvest up to 90% of their incomes back into their households to improve their children's health, nutrition, and education. So when we support women, we're supporting them to be able to take care of their families and their communities. Okay, so what happens, though? So you give a man a fish, teach a man to fish, teach a woman to fish. But what if you don't have access to the pond? What if the pond is polluted? What if it's dried up? What if there is war and conflict happening? That's where the Canadian Food Grains Bank is doing some of that bigger system work around policy and justice and working to change the rules around how we as a global community care that everyone has access to food. So there's some simple examples. In Syria, many of you may have connections with Syrian families. Our church community supported a Syrian family, and we have a young woman living in our house with us, and so we're learning a lot about Syria. So a lot of Syrians live in Lebanon, and they are hungry not because there isn't food. There's food around. There's markets in Lebanon. They're hungry because they don't have money to buy the food. So the Canadian Food Grains Bank lobbied and changed the system that we actually now give food vouchers to displaced people, so Syrian families, so that they can actually use that money to purchase in the markets. So that gives them the autonomy to purchase what they need, but it is also supporting their local community and helping bridge those relationships. Because you can imagine what would happen if they were getting free food and nobody was buying in the markets. So that's an important piece of it. They're also, believe it or not, anytime you travel overseas now, you'll realize how available cell phones are. So we actually, Canadian Food Grains Bank, do cash advances via cell phones to nomadic herders who would otherwise have to travel miles and miles and miles to access money to get food. So they can go and access. So that's some examples of how we are changing how we access and share food in our world. So I think I will stop talking. We have a really a nice video that brings that all together, and then Ian is going to finish up with Grow Hope Project. So we're on.
Lord, make me a means of your peace. Lord, make me a means of your peace. Where there's hatred, is so your love. Where there's injury, Lord, let forgiveness be my sword. Lord, make me a means of your peace. Lord, make me a means of your peace. Where there's sadness here, let me sow your joy. When the darkness nears, may your light dispel our fears. Lord, make me a means of your peace.
Lord, make me a means of your peace. Peace is what we are ultimately aiming for in our world. And that video ends with Isaiah. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loosen the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood, then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. May we hear your Spirit calling us to serve and in faith respond.
And I'm up next. Hi, Ian again. So back in the booth, you have both videos, so we'll probably, I'll cue you to go to mine in a minute or two. And then during the offering, we'll probably play that other video because it's just got some nice music, no words. There. With the children's story, I don't know if anyone caught, I got talking a bit about reaping and gleaning. Reaping is where you plant a seed and get 500 back. So, and basically the harvesting, so when we just call it combining nowadays. But then we get into gleaning, and that's more how do you give back to the poor. Now that was Moses writing in Leviticus, and that was thousands of years ago. So now we roll it up 2019. How do we glean nowadays with our modern agriculture and all these big combines? So this is what I'm going to share to you. Again, my name's Ian McCaddy with my wife, Brenda. We're your Food Grains Bank reps, and we're the Nova Scotia coordinators. Usually, the other thing with Food Grains Bank, we always say we give, pray, advocate, and educate. Well, Brenda does the prayer and educate part very well. For policy, I have to do the advocate, which means I have to work with all the MPs. So all our elected officials now are all wonderful people, and I'm going to have to really get to know some new friends in November. So I have to just be mum right now to see who my new friends are after Tuesday. Because also, it's good to actually, you will have an MP here, so it's good to actually, if you get involved with Food Grains Bank, let them know, because they're in Ottawa, and they do vote every year to give us $25 million. So we have about 350 people that we really like them to know what we do across Canada. So that's part of my job. And the other one is give, is how we fundraise. And that's what I'll get into right here with a video shortly.
is fundraising. And the video you're about to see is one of our projects in Truro. The owners, which you'll see in the video, owned a golf course, and they had some extra land, so they donated it. They've since shut down the golf course, so Greg and I actually farm it together, and we donate all the grains to the Canadian Food Grains Bank. And it shows how farmers work together to just grow a crop, and it's again, the modern way of gleaning. So in that gleaning process, we call it a growing project. So a growing project is where someone donates some land and a group of farmers donate their time, but you have to put inputs. You got to buy your seed, you got to buy your fertilizer, your spray, and all that to grow the crop. So there is an investment to do it. And then we grow the crop and make money for Food Grains Bank. Now, in that, we've expanded that idea that we call it Grow Hope. And that's what this card will be about and what this project will be about. It's called our, Grow Hope. Is basically, we are growing a crop to make money, and that money goes to people who don't have food, which gives them hope for tomorrow. So we're actually growing hope. And it's a way that church communities can get involved with what us farmers do. Because more and more I find, if I'm a farmer, I'm like the only one in the room. You know, 70% of our people aren't farming anymore. We're down to less than 1% farmers, so which is even less in this room because I think there's more than 100 people, and I'm the only one, so the statistics are right. So people can't all jump in their combine and glean a crop, so you have to participate somehow. So this is what challenges people. Basically, we ask congregations to help sponsor an acre, and that buys our inputs, and then the farmers do their bit, and it grows, and it grows, and it multiplies. So that's the whole concept of what we do, and that's what we'll show in the movie. And in the movie, hopefully it all works. I'll say a prayer as the guys hit their buttons back there. And it will highlight the four projects in this part of Nova Scotia. The nearest project to you is up in Milford. There's a Wickwire Station Park, whatever, and we have about 20 acres there of corn that farmers in the Shubenacadie area grow. We have a field in Brookfield that when you're driving north to Truro and you come to that Brookfield exit, just look off to the right and you'll see about 40 acres of corn there between the highway and the town. And that was donated by Lafarge to us, and we grow 40 acres there with farmers in that region. The third one will be that golf course in River Run in North River that you'll learn a bit about here in a second. And the fourth project that might actually be of interest to you people, it's sponsored by Trinity United Church in Onslow, and it's 10 acres of corn, and it's at Masstown Market. Anyone heard of Masstown Market? Laurie Jennings is famous. So 8 years ago, Laurie Jennings and the Jennings family at Masstown donated their 10 acres of land around the market. They want to keep the land in case they expand. And they built the big peg. So there's a big peg building and a convention center. And for 6 years, it ran as a corn maze. And people might have heard of the corn maze at Masstown Market. What they didn't know is Masstown actually, like, they're not farmers, but we got lots in the area, and they liked this concept. So they said, well, we'll donate the land to you if you can grow the corn. We'll rent it for you. So they rent the land for their corn maze. And when the maze was over, we would go in November and harvest that corn, and we'd raise about $8,000-$10,000 doing that. So that's been going on for 8 years. It's a wonderful thing Masstown Market does and donates. And it's the whole proceeds and the managing and the buying and everything is all managed through Trinity United Church. They're in Onslow, so they coordinate it all. So they are always looking for sponsors for their acres, and you could actually sponsor with Trinity United. It would raise the funds that goes into the United Church account at Food Grains Bank. So that's the way we're working today, and to show a bit better of not only how it works, but Greg and Carol Jones, these farmers, ended up to Malawi, and they actually got to see where their money goes. So if God's willing, and you guys back there, we'll play up this Grow Hope video. like ending hunger. $300 you can sponsor an acre to help our farmers.
For over 30 years, farmers across Canada have been helping end global hunger through Canadian Food Grains Bank and its 15 member churches. Now, Nova Scotians who aren't farmers have a chance to join us by sponsoring an acre through our Grow Hope projects. Greg Jones is an accountant in Truro, Nova Scotia, who volunteers his services with the Canadian Food Grains Bank. He also has a 12-acre field next to his former golf club in North River that he generously made available to grow a crop and sell it to raise funds to help end hunger.
Hi, I'm Carol Jones. I'm here with my husband, Greg Jones, and we're in Malawi. We're here with the Canadian Food Grains Bank Learning Tour, actually, where we're visiting the projects that are sponsored through the partners here in Malawi with the Food Grains Bank back in Canada. We've had the pleasure of spending 3 days with a Malawian farmer and his family, actually living with them, learning about the techniques that they're being taught through this project in order to take their family from being a malnourished family over 20 years ago to now being very successful farmers and having sustainability in their own farm.
Back home in North River, Nova Scotia, we use some of our land to host a growing project where we grow corn, and with the help of a number of volunteer farmers and local businesses, they support the project through providing labor and machinery and supplies, and the crop of corn is grown and sold. The proceeds go to the Canadian Food Grains Bank. It's been a real pleasure to come overseas here and witness that money at work as it makes its way into the rural communities and into the farmers' households. We're just so pleased to be part of that process.
Your support helps pay for the inputs so that our local farmers can continue to do what they are good at, growing and selling corn to donate 100% of the harvest profits to Grow Hope for people who do not have enough to eat. It costs farmers like Greg $300 an acre for seed and other inputs. When we have a good growing season, the crop is sold for $700 an acre. Local church associations work with farmers like Greg to receive sponsorships and process charitable tax receipts. When we raise enough to sponsor the whole field, we will provide $8,400 for the Canadian Food Grains Bank. Through a special arrangement with the Government of Canada, our church partners can get matching funds at 3-to-1 for food security work. That means your $300 an acre sponsorship can grow to $2,800 an acre, and the whole field can become over $33,400. That is over 10 times your original sponsorship. In other words, your gift will grow, both literally as the crop rises from the ground, and financially as the crop is sold and matched by the Canadian government. All you need to do is sign up by sending your sponsorship to your local church association marked for Grow Hope. You can also send them to the Canadian Food Grains Bank Nova Scotia address. Through the growing season, you will receive updates so you can see how your crop is doing, along with worship and other resources for your church to use on Sunday mornings or as family devotions. In Isaiah 58:10, we read, "If you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like noonday." Through Grow Hope, you and your church can be that light for many people in the world. If you have any questions or you want to sign up, contact Brenda Leanders or Ian McCaddy, Canadian Food Grains Bank Nova Scotia representatives.
Set up over there if you would like to learn more. or visit CanadianFoodGrainsBank.ca. There are numerous opportunities of learning and to be engaged. So please go there and be a part of the hope. So we'll end in prayer. Creator, we acknowledge that we see the growing gaps between the some who are rich and the many on this earth who live in poverty. We give thanks for all those working to end hunger, to end poverty, and to build peace. We pray for development centered on the dignity of each person that feeds not only their bodies, but nourishes their human strength and hope for the future. Amen.
Thank you, Brenda and Ian. I think we'll move into the sharing of the life and work of the community. I know there are a few folks who have announcements to share. Lots of abundance happening in our congregation today.
Good morning. Last thing about the auction. We have a wonderful problem. You have been so very generous that we have no more room for anything else. If I have the item that you have donated, or if I have the list of what you would like to donate, that's all we can do, or we will not be out of the auction until midnight. So that was wonderful. If you come next Sunday evening, 5:30 for the potluck supper, and bring your checkbooks, because we're going to need people to take that stuff home. So thanks very much. So, it's wonderful.
Yeah, maybe we can sit.
Morning, folks. I don't want anything. I just want to say thank you to the gentleman that helped me look after the lawn and do the trimming this season. We had a successful season. The grass got cut. The weeds got cut. Stuff is put away for the year. So thank you, guys. I'll be back next spring looking for additional volunteers or to hopefully bring the crew back. So thank you very much.
Good morning, everybody. I learned something new today, gleaning. I guess I'm with Cole Harbour Cares, which is a refugee sponsorship group, and I think we did quite a bit of gleaning in the last couple of years. And we brought Ziad and Isra al-Assadi from Syria to Lebanon to here. So we're ready for a harvest. In my words, that means party. So today, from 2 to 4, come. Meet the family. This is the best thing about this is you don't need to make anything, you don't need to bake anything, you don't need to set up, you don't need to clean up. You just have to come. So we've got things for the kiddies to do, so bring the family and we'll see you at 2 in the hall. Thank you. Next thing. So that was a good announcement. This one, I am part of a hiring committee. You weren't going to say that, were you? No, okay. We have some news. Jennifer Myers, who is our administrative assistant, has passed in her resignation. She has been offered a phenomenal job with Hospice Halifax, and we're devastated that she's going to take it, but yet we're really happy that she is moving on to something that is dear to her and her heart. So there is a hiring committee that has been set up, and we are going to be moving forward with finding her replacement in the next few weeks. Thank you.
I have to read mine. My name is Lee Eyre, for anybody who doesn't know me. I'm part of the United Church Women of this congregation. Our group has approximately 25 members, but not all of those are active within the group. We're all getting a little older, and some cannot participate fully. We help to raise funds for the local church, the wider church, mission and service, and the community. Recently, we have purchased new chairs and tables for the church hall with financial assistance from the Quilters Group. As you are no doubt aware, the group hosts many receptions, mostly for funerals. We have often reached out to the membership at large, and lots of assistance is provided when we have asked. We thank everybody who makes sandwiches and sweets for any number of occasions within the church. You've all seen the clipboard that's gone around. That's, sorry, I didn't announce, but I tried to put it at the top that it was for the UCW. We just wanted to update that list. We have some new members here, or maybe some people who don't want or can't participate. You know, they're busy with something else. Now, and then we're also looking for people who can help to set up when we're having a party or a funeral. Sorry, excuse me. Set up in the hall. You wouldn't have to come for the whole reception. You can come before, set up, serve during, or come afterwards to help with dishes, and that's a great help for the UCW. And of course, if you would like to join our group, that would be terrific. We're always welcoming new members. We meet monthly, the first Monday of the month, usually here at the church. Twice a year, at the minimum, we have an entirely social evening at someone's house or at a local restaurant. And I guarantee it's fun to be part of the group. Now, my second announcement involves coffee time. So this morning, you're going to notice that after church, there are going to be some treats being served. The fellowship committee wants everyone to know that when you sign up to host coffee time, that isn't a requirement. We want folks to have the opportunity for fellowship and conversation, but we are all going home for lunch, so we don't need to have sweets being served. So if you don't want to do that, that's great. Now, Gail Crooks, who comes to the early service, she prepares the tea and the coffee. She gets that ready. So you just have to buy the milk and the cream and then wash up afterwards. Thanks a lot.
Hi. I promise not to be long-winded. I'm Roger, and it's my privilege to be the president of the choir. I don't get to do very much throughout the year, so this is a special occasion. Here to talk to you about dedication. The dedication of a choral member is really quite important, and that they stay with us, and that they work with us year in and year out. I mean, I think everybody understands that. It's almost the same as dedicating yourself to dinner theater and whatnot. But we have cause today to celebrate. We have cause today to celebrate for one individual. One individual who gave four decades of service to the choir. And I'm speaking about Willie. Talking about Willie. Now, I happen to know we're talking about 40 years of service. That's here. Before that, he was at a church in Cape Breton, was it, Willie? And what was the name of the church? The name of the church? How many years were you there? 20 years. It's incredible. It's absolutely astounding. And that's the reason why I've been asked to talk to you. You know, when at work, after 5 years of service, you know, we might get a certificate. And after 10 years of service, we get one of those pins, the pin that has the big number 10 on it, and everybody says, "What's that for?" Because they can't see any of the words. After 25 years of service, now in the 80s, it was a Rolex watch. Nowadays, you know, it might be an iPhone with an engraving on the back of it. But Willie, after 40 years of service, you get our undying gratitude, and you get cake. There's cake. There's cake in the hall, and we want everybody to come and help celebrate. Thank you.
Sorry. One more. So for those who don't know me, my name is Cheryl Settle, and I am part of the Joint Search Committee. I am the chair, so that's why I get to stand up here. We are very pleased to say that we would like to hold a congregational meeting on Sunday, November 3rd, after church. That's it. Pardon? For the purpose to discuss the position of the associate minister. Good? Thank you.
The word "be here." There you go. That's all I have to say about that. Whoops. There's a reason why the videos stop working, because some days I'm a klutz. Thank you all for the work of this community, both here in this place and around our world. In that spirit, then, we present our gifts and offerings as part of our worship this day. Watch that thing. Are we going to try that video again, or do we cross our fingers and toes and such? Leave the music play.
Lord, make me a means of your peace. Where there's hatred grown, let me sow your love. Where there's injury, Lord, let forgiveness be my soul. A means of your peace. Lord, make me a means of your peace. Where there's sadness here, let me sow your joy. When the darkness nears, may your light dispel our fears. Lord, make me a means of your peace.
Throughout our scriptures, God, you command us to care for those in need in our community, in our country, and in the world. You call on us to provide for each other's needs and respect the dignity of all people. Your realm imagines a place when all are afforded the chance to live and work in justice. We find that we have not lost anything, but rather that we have gained more than we could have imagined. As we bring our plates, our power, and our living to worship today, we participate with you, God, in the coming of your realm. In grace we have been freely given. In love you joyfully call us to imitate you. These gifts bear witness to the justice for which you long, and our faithful response to the loving care we find in you. Amen. Thank you. Please have a seat. Let us, as God's people in this place, come together in prayer. God, your Spirit moves between us, within us, and around us. It draws us to places that we never are really sure we might be able to go. We hear your voice calling to us in thought, in our heart, and in our movements. We give you thanks this day, O God, that as we have gathered, we are able to worship in safety and security in this place. And we ask that you would continue to inspire us so that all people everywhere can live in that same safety and security. We pray, O God, that you would continue to move us forward, to hear the words, the call of your people from the days of Leviticus to the days of Jesus to the days today, to care for one another, to uphold one another, to feed and secure one another as we are called to be your people in this place. We ask, O God, you would care for us as we seek to care for others, as we offer the care and comfort of Christ, as is our mission here in this place. Continue to move us to visit those who are sick and those who are at home, unable to join us these days. We ask you would surround us as we surround one another. We hold those in prayer who are dear to our hearts. We hold those who are in need. We hold one another in prayer this day. Our words, O God, we ask that you would hear as we share together the words of Jesus' prayer, either in ways that have been taught to us for many years or in the words that are found in our order of service. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen. And as we close our service this morning, 402 in Voices United, we are one. As God has called us in, God also sends us out. We have come here today to encounter God, and in prayer, in song, in word, and in deed, we have done so. And it is God that goes with us from this place into the world to serve, to share, to love, and to hope. Let us go and be about the work of God as God's people in this place. Amen.